The funny thing about Minnesota. That's what's coming up on The Art of Bombing, episode 200.
My friend Dan, he's got a podcast, cause all comics need a podcast, and nobody had a podcast called The Art of Bombing. So Dan went out and bought a tape deck. Who knows why he bought a tape deck? Podcasts don't get played on tape decks, but Dan is from the 80s. So hey there, all you funny jerks, come talk to Dan about your work. Tell him all about your worst times. It's The Art of Bombing.
Welcome to a brand new episode of The Art of Bombing. Dan Bublitz Jr. here with you today. It is Tuesday, April 27th, 2021, and oh my goodness, do we have an episode for you, because it is episode 200. What a milestone. We made it. We made it to episode 200, and I gotta be honest, I didn't always think I would make it this far, because I don't always follow through on all my ideas, you know. I do something for a while, and if it doesn't take off, you know, you move on to the next thing. But I've been keeping at it and trying to constantly improve this podcast, and here we are, episode 200. I can't believe I did it. I wouldn't be able to do it with all the people that continue to listen to the podcast, all the people that give me feedback and always trying to help, you know, with suggestions and ideas, and people who help get other guests. That's a big thing, because that's what happened on today's episode and actually next week's episode. That's right. I've got two great comedians back to back, 2 weeks in a row, because we're celebrating some big milestones here on the Art of Bombing podcast. I was going to combine them and try to get one guest and just celebrate both milestones, which is our 200th episode and our 4-year anniversary. But I decided, because I ended up with two great comedians, I was going to break it up. So today is the 200th episode with Louis Anderson. Wow, we got Louis Anderson. Can you believe that? He is a legend in comedy. He's been doing comedy for over 40 years. He was just in Coming to America, the sequel with Eddie Murphy and Arsenio Hall. He's been on late night television. He had his own animated series, Life with Louis. He's done it all. He's had comedy specials, and he's done it all. And we got to give a special thanks to Patrick Strait for helping set that up. If you're a big fan of the podcast, if you listen to all the episodes, you'll remember Patrick Strait from episode 189, where I had him on as a guest. He wrote the book Funny Thing About Minnesota, which is it's the history of Twin Cities comedy, and it starts with, you know, five comics, and Louis Anderson was one of them. He was one of the main characters in that book, because he was part of the beginning of the comedy in the Twin Cities. And Patrick made the connection to help us get Louis Anderson on this episode. So thank you, Patrick, so much. If you're a fan of comedy and you want to learn about comedy, go buy Patrick's book, Funny Thing About Minnesota. It's available at local bookstores in the Twin Cities area. It's also available online. I think you can get it probably through the Minnesota Historical Society. I know it's available on Amazon. There's lots of different places where you can get his book. I highly recommend you do it. I bought the book. I read the book in the course of a weekend, because it was that good. It was amazing. It was great to learn about the comedy in Minnesota, because I honestly didn't know that so many people that have had huge impacts on the comedy industry as a whole, not just locally in the Minnesota region, but as a whole, worldwide, I did not realize how many started in Minnesota. So that was pretty amazing. So I highly recommend you go check out Patrick Strait's book. Now, back to Louis Anderson. We had a great conversation. This was an amazing. I couldn't believe that I had him on my podcast and that I was sitting there talking to him. I'm still in awe and just, wow, what a surreal moment. But I want to mention before we get into this episode with Louis that he's filming a brand new special June 12th, 2021. It's going to be filmed, I believe, live in Las Vegas, but I also believe it's going to be streamed live. So you can, if you live in Las Vegas, you can be probably part of the live audience. And there's a good chance, if you don't live in Las Vegas, that you can be part of the virtual audience, which that's cool. You can be part of his next comedy special. Again, that's June 12th. You can find tickets, and all the information is available at rushtix.com. That is rushitx.com. Rushtix.com. go to that website, get all the information. You can be part of Louis Anderson's next comedy special, which we talked a little bit about in this episode of the podcast. So, yes, do that. Now, like I said, I divided up these two milestones. Next week, we're going to be celebrating the fourth year anniversary. And I've already told people who was, you know, kind of people, if you follow the social media, you're already aware of who the guest is. And so I'm not going to keep it a mystery. Chad Daniels is going to be on next week's episode. And it was that was another great conversation that I got to have. And I couldn't believe I was having it. And that was thanks to Stu McAllister, who is a comic out of Michigan, who he put me in touch with them and helped set that up. So it's because of the people that help. It's the network. That's what it is. The fans, the other comics, the network. And I want to just say thank you to all of you, because otherwise we wouldn't be here at episode 200. We wouldn't be doing this this conversation with Louis Anderson, and next week with Chad Daniels. So I'm very thankful and just wanted to make sure that I'm very clear on that. Now, before we get into this episode, I do want to take care of my housekeeping, the things that I got to take care of and talk about. I have a virtual show coming up on May 1st, and it is a fundraiser for human trafficking awareness. That's a virtual show. All the information is on my website, danbublitz.com. You can get tickets there, and there's going to be some other great comics on the show. There's going to be a spoken word poet, and it's going to be a good time. That's at 8:30 p.m. Central Time. So like I said, go to my website, danbublitz.com, get your tickets there. I got a lot of live shows coming up as well over the summer. I'm fully vaccinated. I'm ready to go, ready to do some comedy. Comedy's opening up. I got a bunch of dates on my website. If you just go to danbublitz.com and go check out the schedule, I'm going to be touring all over the Midwest, because I'm getting ready to record an album in August, and in my basement too. So that's going to be cool. It'll be a fun thing. So if you want to see me live doing live comedy, go to my website, see where I'm going. I got lots of stuff coming up. All right. Now, last couple things. Again, we've got the Patreon. If you want to help support the show financially, you can do that by going to patreon.com/artofbombingpod. We only have two tiers. We have a $5 tier, $10 tier. There's great benefits on both tiers, and I'm going to be doing some more fun stuff with that. I'm going to really try to put some more stuff out on the Patreon, you know, like videos, like you can go watch the video of Louis Anderson. That's going to be posted on the Patreon. So go subscribe if you want to see the video of me interviewing or having a conversation with Louis Anderson. It'll be a good time, I guarantee you. Again, the best way, though, that you can support the show is by sharing our social media posts. You know, when we post about an episode, share it. Tell a friend. If you know an aspiring comedian or somebody that's a big fan of comedy, point them in our direction. Tell them about this podcast, because they're going to enjoy it. They're going to learn something from it. That definitely helps. Another way, you can give us a 5-star rating, leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. It definitely helps us out a lot. It helps get us noticed in the algorithms and all that stuff that helps us get more listeners, so we can keep putting on great episodes like the one that we have today for you. And the final thing I'm going to talk about is my bi-monthly open mic, the Munch Mic. Clean open mic is on Sunday, May 2nd from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. Central Time. That is also a virtual open mic. Comedians from across the country come and work on clean material. If you want to come watch the show, you can. It's free to watch. If you're a comic and you want to work on clean material, all you got to do is go to blitzedentertainment.com/munchmic and fill out the form and grab your spot. Spots do go fast and they are limited. So if you want to perform, go check that out. All right, I'm still babbling. I can't believe it. This intro is going a lot longer than they usually do, but I had so much to talk about. So let's just get into this, shall we? Should we get into this conversation with Louis Anderson? And again, before we do, one last thing. Thank you for episode 200. And next week, I'll be doing a lot more thank yous again for the 4-year anniversary. Thank you so much. Now, here's my conversation with the very, very kind, beautiful, and delightful Louis Anderson. Enjoy.
And now, it's time for the stand-up soundbite.
I'll tell you this. If I get one more X on my clothing, I'm next year's Super Bowl. So... quit putting X's on the clothing. Try putting pictures of mammals in the different sections. Do you have this in a wildebeest? Can I wear sloth and wildebeest together? No? No. Where's the manatee section? It's my spirit animal. Propeller. Just got back from Vermont. Beautiful there, huh? Nice to stay at a hotel where you can hunt from the window. Then I went to Boston. You know what's nice is, yes, Boston, there you go. Thanks for driving in. Appreciate it. What's nice about Boston is they have all the history. And when people drive you, they tell you the history, you know?
I don't know if you know this, but we're on the road that Paul Revere rode on. That's what I always wanted to do. I always wanted to be a jockey.
Too tall.
Yeah, again, thank you so much for doing this. I'm glad to be doing this with you. I know your nephew, Josh. He's real cool.
Yeah, he's great. Yeah, he's a great guy, isn't he?
Yes, he is. He was on here.
Very funny. Yeah.
Yeah, good people. I have a, before we get really into this podcast, I do have a question for you. In an interview, I heard you say you started, the first open mic you did was October 10th, 1978. Is that correct?
No.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So this is just interesting fact. You started comedy one day before I was born. So you've literally
been doing...
Yeah.
That's amazing, huh?
Yes. You've literally been doing comedy as long as I've been alive.
So are you in your 40s?
I am.
Oh, you don't look 40s. That's good for you.
Thank you.
Yeah. I think comics mostly look younger than they are, but...
Mm-hmm.
At least that's what I want to believe.
Yes, I'll go with it. That works for me. It's been working for
me. Wow, so you were born on October 11th.
Yep, I was.
So crazy.
Yeah.
Well, I think October 11th, I was thinking, should I keep doing this? I mean, I knew I liked it a lot, but I did sign up right away and went back, I think, the next week and did the next show I could get it, they would let me do.
Mm-hmm.
And then here we are, 40, I think two now, going on three or 43.
Yeah, it'll be 43 because I'll be 43 this year. So
yeah, so that's amazing.
Yeah, that's.
Where did you grow up then? Right in Huron?
Yep, grew up right in Huron, South Dakota.
When did you do? Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was gonna say I lived there till about a year or two after I graduated high school, and then I moved to other parts of the state. So I started comedy way late. I didn't start comedy until I was 32, I think. So
that's good. That's okay, though. Mm-hmm. I always tell people you can't wait long enough.
Yeah.
It doesn't hurt to wait. It doesn't really hurt. You just get smarter as you get older. So
No, I would agree with that. That's one thing an observation I've seen with, you know, I see people who start comedy very young, and yes, they do get good because they start so young, but their material when they start isn't as good because they don't really have as many experiences and, you know, relatable material. With starting as late as I did, I'd already lived other lives. You know, I was married and then divorced and had other jobs and, like, had all these different life experiences to actually draw material from that was also relatable to audiences. So,
and what is the scroll that goes on the bottom?
Oh, it's just got the Instagram stuff for the podcast.
Oh, good. So, you know, that's really an amazing thing though. And then did you first do it in Minnesota or where?
South Dakota.
South Dakota. Where'd you do it there?
I did an open mic at Fat Daddy's Comedy Club. That was the comedy club in Sioux Falls, South Dakota.
I've been to that that place, but I don't know if it was a restaurant. Was it a restaurant first?
Honestly, I don't know. I know that when I started, they were just like a comedy club in the basement of a bar.
Oh, well, then I didn't go there, no. But Fat Daddy's sounds interesting. But, like, I mean, someplace I might have played because there's always those things.
Yeah, maybe you probably played Nitwits.
What'd you call me? Sorry.
I love it. No. Yeah, because Nitwits was the comedy club, I think, before Fat Daddy's. Yeah.
Wow.
Unfortunately, Sioux Falls has had a kind of a bad history with lots of comedy clubs. There hasn't been, like, a consistent club, it doesn't seem like.
You know, a town that size really can't support a comedy club.
Yeah, it's tough.
I mean, comedy could hardly make it in the Twin Cities.
Yeah, I believe it.
Don't you agree with that?
Oh, yeah. Well, and especially out here in the Midwest in the summertime, you know, people don't want to be indoors because they've been indoors all winter long. You know, the last place they want to go is to a comedy club or anywhere outside, really.
Exactly right. I agree with you. I think it's like a 3-day-a-week business.
Mm-hmm.
Friday, Saturday, Sunday, maybe.
Yep.
Or Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Yep, one of those. And it's amazing how some clubs try to run, like, you know, they do 6 days a week, you know, and that's just like,
that's, wow. What do they do? Good luck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is absolutely for sure. Yeah, it's interesting, too, like, because I wasn't as familiar, obviously, because I'm a transplant and I live in Minnesota now. And I read that book, you know, The Funny Thing About Minnesota, which was the history, and I was just blown away with the history. I mean, it's amazing to learn that so many great comedians and people in the industry started in Minnesota and really started the scene here.
Well, there really was a scene. It was pretty amazing that, you know, we didn't even, like, I didn't have a conscious picture of comedy and the club scene. Because I did it on a dare when I did it.
Yep.
I wasn't trying to become a comedian. So, it's funny. But I'm glad I did. And so I didn't know. I just kept, people would tell me stuff and I go, yeah, I'm working on my show here. Leave me alone. No, you know, when you're a comedian, you're very single-minded and you really are like just doing your thing.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't want anyone getting in. Comics have a tendency to get in there and dig around. And, you know, because you're working and they're not. So they don't want you to work. They want you to stop working and talk to them, I think, sometimes, don't you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, I really didn't realize. I'm glad that Patrick wrote this book. He did a wonderful job on it.
I thought so.
Yeah, I think it's hard to keep everybody from hating you when you write a book about a bunch of people, especially comedians. You know, like you know, people are. You know, I said to a couple of people who didn't like certain things. Hey, you're in a book and it's in the Historical Society and you live forever. And now we have a footprint about what we all did. And let's just leave it at that. Mm-hmm. Nobody's going through the book and going, damn it. Yeah. Damn you. You know what I mean? Nobody's doing that.
No, absolutely.
Nobody's
not.
Going, everybody's, I think everybody's being educated to how hard we all worked, really.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, we had comedy going 6 nights a week there, or 7.
Mm-hmm.
We had comedy every night somewhere. Williams Pub, the Varsity. I mean, we had anybody who would book us, we would go do it, right?
Yeah, yep. That's
And Minnesota audiences, they're the best, really, in so many ways.
That's a good definition of comedy and comics. If they'll book us, we'll do it.
Yeah.
We'll do it wherever
they'll
book
us. No, but
you
don't even ask how much. You just say, okay, I'll do it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you want to work. You're working on your act. You have a purpose.
Yep, absolutely.
You have a real purpose. You go, I'd like to get my 7 minutes. I'd like to get my half hour. I'd like to get my hour. I want to make money. I want to become famous, blah, blah, whatever you decide you're going to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
In Minnesota, you know, that's like a cocoon. So comfortable there. A lot of people never leave Minnesota because, they're happy.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't leave. And I don't begrudge them that because it makes a big difference. You got to really be really invested in wanting to do it and get lucky and all those things that happen to comics and entertainers. And, you know, I was kind of built for show business. I like to talk about myself and I like to do jokes and make people laugh. And, you know, I want to try all that stuff. I want to keep doing it. I'm working on a new special right now.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That'll be great. I mean, you've already done a lot. I mean, you know, I was thinking about this once this was all scheduled and everything, and I was thinking about it, you know, and in comedy, we often get asked of, you know, the comics that influence us as comedians or what got you kind of into comedy. And I was thinking about this today. I was like, oh, man, you know whose name never comes up for me, but it absolutely should. And that is Louis Anderson, because I was sort of thinking back on this and I'm like, a lot of your early material was very informative on me. You know, like Life with Louis was one of my favorite shows.
Thanks.
Growing up. So it's
all right.
Where was it, Dan? What are you from, South Dakota? You're on.
So flat over there, you can roll a marble one end to the other. Anyway, yes. I love that dad character in the show. You know, it's one of my favorites.
Yeah.
We're trying to sell that to a streamer to reboot it for 2021.
That'd be amazing.
Yeah, it'd be so much fun to do it one more time, actually. I would really enjoy it.
Oh, I think it would be great. I mean, and this is a good climate for it, because when it came out, it was kind of before its time in that, you know, the sense where it was basically an animated sitcom. And now that's the thing. Like, everywhere you look, there's animated sitcoms, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like we were groundbreaking, and we were very diverse also.
Mm-hmm.
And we were just trying to make show that I was trying to make the show that people would watch with their kids. Mm-hmm. That's really what I wanted. I wanted, you know, dad. I made it, honestly, for my dad and me. Like, I wish my dad would have sat down and watched something like that with me, because I got a chance to really, you know, poke fun at my dad and my family. But really what I was trying to do was, you know, say to people, this is how life really is, was for me in a lot of ways. And I just, first of all, always try to get a laugh first when you're writing something. And then if you can make a point, that's always great. And I think that's kind of a Minnesota thing. You know, I think Minnesotans, well, what does it mean? What are you trying to do with it? Does it matter to you? I always ask comics, does your material matter to you? Because if it doesn't matter to you, why should it matter to me as an audience member?
Yeah, that's a really good perspective.
And, you know, I've had a lot of people come up to me and say, hey, and I don't ever say who they were, but they're famous comics, and say, hey, your first special really influenced me, and that kind of stuff from the Guthrie. And I'm always appreciative of it. I'm always shocked, to be honest with you. I go, well, thank you. It's a nice thing. It's a nice thing. But I know who I am. And I know what I've done with my comedy. And I'm happy with being a clean comic fit me better than being a dirty comic.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly because I'm practical. I knew I could make more money being a clean comic.
Yep. And that's,
you can get every job if you're the clean comic.
Yep. That's a lesson that a lot of comics don't want to accept.
Well, and also maybe it doesn't fit them, you know.
Yep. And that's,
I think,
true.
Some people want to be trailblazers. But you know, if you really look back at all the great comic trailblazers, it's hard to blaze another trail. You could be yourself. I think that's what you should go for.
Yep.
And you can be, you know, I don't want anyone to be like me. I just want people to be like themselves.
Yep. Yeah. No, absolutely. You know? I feel like people are, it's easier for audiences to relate with, you know, when people are being themselves, but maybe even an exaggerated version of themselves, because
yeah,
it's that honesty They can tell that you're being honest versus it's an act and you're pretending to be somebody you're not.
I agree with you.
Yeah, which is...
I think that, comedy, like people say, you were in the golden age of comedy. They'll say that to me and I'll go, yeah, but it's platinum age now. I mean, there's so much comedy.
Yes, there is.
So many great comics. And I feel like a lot of us comics, you know, plowed that field for all the new comics. You know, I think we had a lot to do with it. The HBO specials and Showtime specials and, you know, even at the Improv and Comedy Showcase. And, you know, those were the early grounds where, you know, kids, teenagers or kids growing up would see that those and go, well, maybe I'm funny.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Now it seems like there's 20 times more comics than when I was doing it.
That's because now everybody can do it. Now with the internet, the internet has definitely made things more, a lot easier and accessible, you know, so everybody can, whether they're actually doing, you know, trying to do stand-up or not, but they can still, you know, do stand-up in a sense where they tell some jokes and then throw it online on this app.
What's your ultimate thing you'd like to do that you haven't done yet? What would be your thing that, if you want to say it?
Well, no, you know, I mean, the thing that... having a special is always good, but I try to stay modest. Yeah. I mean, my main goal in comedy is that I just want to make a decent living doing what I love, you know, and making audiences laugh. I mean, obviously getting, you know, a big TV deal or a Netflix special or all those fun things sound awesome. But realistically, if I could just make a comfortable living doing what I love, I'm going to be happy. You know?
Do you ever tour with your podcast?
Not so much with the podcast. I've done a few live shows with the podcast, but I haven't really brought this on tour. I'm still building my fan base on this. Because with this podcast, it's very niche with what I do.
Yeah.
I
agree with that. Yeah, it is a niche thing, yeah.
Yeah, so my audience is pretty small. It's newer comics and, you know, hardcore comedy fans. You know, so it's not...
That's nice, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I love it because, you know, I just talked to somebody the other day that, you know, said that... they told me that they've gained a lot of knowledge from listening to this podcast, and it's really helped them cope with when they have bad shows, because they know, you know, by listening to this, they weren't alone, that it's part of the process, the bombing part.
Oh, I mean, it's crucial.
Yeah.
I mean, I never learned anything from somebody saying, hey, that was a really good show.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing. Zero.
Yep.
Zero. I mean, it's nice. But I learned all my best stuff bombing.
Yeah.
You know, like, and bombing for me would be really like, you know, I wasn't happy. I'd come off, they go, good show. I go, shut up.
I've been there.
You know, I don't mean it in a mean way, but just shut up. You don't even know.
Yeah. As you're thinking about the punchline you missed or whatever happened.
Or punching the person who was talking during the whole show.
Yeah,
as comics can hear people talking no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
We can hear it and we just go berserk over it. Like, I have to be careful. I could never get mad because people think I'm like, I lose the crowd then when I get mad.
Oh, yep.
And I go, well, they were the one talking. So I've learned to, like, I don't take it personal that people look at their phones at all.
Yeah. I think it doesn't.
I don't let that. I walked right by that because I don't really care. It's better that they're looking at their phone than bothering me.
Yep. That's a good point. And that's something that I think a lot of comics now, we really do need to do. I mean, because phones are just part of life, you know, like you go anywhere and you can't be offended by somebody looking at their phone at a show when you go anywhere it's else like in the world right now. And that's all people are doing.
And, you know, it's changed the whole world entertainment-wise.
Mm-hmm.
People want to tape you or video your show rather than to watch it because they're already living future.
Yep.
They want to be the first one to put it out there what they're doing and put out there my jokes and, oh, this was where we are and this is what we're doing, you know?
How
I think they'll get to a certain saturation point. I think there are some people who you have to lock your phone in a bag.
Mm-hmm. And I've heard of them doing that. Yeah, I've heard of them doing that at shows.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I get because, as you know,
people don't want it because they might be working on a new special.
Yep, that's what I was just going to say.
And they don't want their material out there early.
Yep. And that's what audiences used to be able to think about.
Yeah. Used to be able to sneak in a club and, you know, do some time so you could work on the bits. Mm-hmm. I'm in the process of doing that here. I live in Vegas. I'm in the process of going to do some nights where I just go in with my, I know where I want to go with this special and just start working on it and then go, thanks. And then, you know, do it the next night so I can make it better.
Yep. Do you have particular spots that you like to go in Vegas?
Or I go usually to Laugh Factory because I'm good friends with Harry Basil. Do you know Harry?
Yeah, I worked with Harry.
What a lovely person he is.
Yep. I worked with him at a military show, actually, because I used to live in San Diego. So I did a show. Patrick DeGeer books this show off San Nicolas Island. And,
amazing, right?
Yeah, and so I did that, which was really fun. And I got to open for Harry, so that was cool.
How was the show?
It was fun.
That's a good audience. Mm-hmm. If you have the right stuff, right?
Yep. Oh, yeah, absolutely. I did it, I think twice. Patrick brought me out there, and both times were just great. It was amazing. Great experience.
Is that the show that's in the big hotel?
No, this one's actually, it's like at a sports bar. So San Nicolas Island is,
what's the other one, the other island? Coronado.
Coronado. Yeah. Yep.
Because I think Harry had a, where'd you say you were?
San Nicolas Island, which is.
Oh, San Nicolas.
It's a military base off the coast of Ventura County.
I got you now. So that's north then.
Yeah. I was living in San Diego when Harry had the Laugh Factory there seasonal at that hotel.
Yeah. That was fun.
Yeah.
I played that once with Josh, actually.
Oh, really? Oh, wow. Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah, that's, I heard, I don't know if it's true, but I thought I heard that they were opening another Laugh Factory in San Diego, but that was.
Oh, I don't know anything about it, but it makes sense though.
Yeah.
Was that before the pandemic?
I think it was before the pandemic. So I don't know.
Everything's off the table, isn't it?
Yep. It really is.
Pandemic, but I think things are starting to open up here. Harry's open.
Yep.
He has shows right now. You know, they're all social distance, so.
Yeah.
So that's going on. I don't know where I'm going to do it, but usually I go there or I can go to, you know, like, I went to Jimmy Kimmel's club and did a little time when he was open. They just opened one at the Link.
Yep.
That big Ferris wheel. And Brad's, I usually go to Harry's because it's easier to get in and out of. That's what I'm all about.
Yeah, that helps. That convenience.
When I get in, go on the show. I try to go early, you know, like at the end of the opener, so it's not a big hassle for the other comics.
Mm-hmm. Now that's convenient.
Excuse me. Yeah, it's fun to have no stake where you don't have to sell tickets and you just go and do it.
Yeah.
And you really get to sell. You really get to find out if your material works. Because it's not your crowd.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point. You know, they're not there to see you, so
they're not.
Yeah. That's a good point. Do you feel like sometimes when you perform, as you've grown a fan base and become, you know, as well known as you, that sometimes people they'll come to your show and it doesn't matter what you say, even if it wasn't funny, they'll still laugh. Just because they're...
Hopefully, Dan, that's what you want. No, comics really don't like that, really. But, I mean, I think that's a good point. I guess, yes, I get a lot of liberties that I normally wouldn't get.
Mm-hmm.
because of the, once you become, I always tell comics, enjoy the journey to becoming successful, because once you get it, it won't be, it'll all be distorted. It won't be the same. It won't be real. Mm-hmm. But you know, Friday night, second show, that's always real. You're either good or you're not.
Yeah.
You know, worst, I hate doing Friday second shows because those people should be in bed. They shouldn't be out. They worked all week. They're drunk and they just came there to cause trouble.
Yep.
You know that whole thing, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
A lot of times I won't do one and I'll do a Sunday afternoon show.
Yep. That's smart.
Yeah. Which I enjoy because the whole family can come to my show. So it's, mm-hmm. it's fun.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're, Vegas has become like, I guess there's, what is it? The Cellar, LA Comedy Club.
Yep.
There's Laugh Factory. There's Brad Garrett's. There's Jimmy Kimmel's. I think there's probably more, but yeah. I just don't know their names.
Yeah, I think there's a couple more too, because
I
know a lot of comics that live in and around Vegas. You know, some of the local guys and stuff, and I think there's a couple other ones that just opened up too. It seems like,
yeah, you know, yeah, there's a lot. There's a lot. I don't, oftentimes when I look at the lineup, I go, I don't know these people. Cause you know, the, you know, age different. Mm-hmm. So, but you know, it's always fun.
Yeah. Well,
I'm a big fan of comedy. So, you know, I enjoy somebody's stuff. And I always give people, whether they want it or not, a little advice if I can.
Yeah.
Because it might be helpful. I don't know.
Yeah. No, that's you know, that's something I've talked about on this too, that a lot of comics, you know, there's quite a few comics that'll get offended by that. And it's like, mm-hmm. why? Like, if they're just trying to help, I mean, you don't have to take their advice, but is it going to hurt you?
Yeah,
to
probably
to
wouldn't.
It?
I think you have a good idea. I think you have a good idea when they come off stage, whether you want to go down that road or not, just by their attitude and their, mm-hmm. you know, people's attitude, you know.
Yep.
Comics have a tendency to miss the point of entry into their next level because they're so busy admiring themselves. But, you know, and I've done it myself many times, so. I mean, I'm an egomaniac, just like we all are.
Yeah, I think you have to be.
As you get older, you're less of... Yeah, you have to be, otherwise you won't survive.
Yeah,
I'm a little less of a egomaniac as I gotten older, because I go, oh, you know, I'm not interested. I don't need to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense.
Did we just get a toilet flush?
I don't know. Did we?
I just heard. Yeah, like I just heard.
Wasn't on my end.
Where you?
I'm up in my studio.
Here. It's not here. Oh. I just thought we just had some sort of like, maybe it was a visit from another planet.
Uh-oh. We're in trouble now.
That's your new show, isn't it, Dan?
Yeah, we're in trouble now.
How hard was the show on Venus?
Too funny.
I know your show is all about bombing, isn't it?
It is, yeah. And we're gonna definitely get to that for sure, because that's what this is about. Before we
did, they send you a book, by the way?
Yeah, I've read the book. I went and bought it actually. So
yeah, oh, you did?
Yep, I bought it.
Yeah, can they get it? Can they look at? Oh, do you have it there?
Not by me, but it's right around the corner.
No, but I just mean try to put that on your website or whatever, if you would.
Oh, absolutely. I'd definitely promote it.
Because that would be good, yeah.
Yeah. No, yeah. I've been promoting it. I thought it was a great book. Like I said, it was a good deep dive into the history. And even, you know, what you were talking about, people kind of being maybe a little upset about some of the stuff that was in there. Because, you know, he does talk about some of the drama that happened, but that's
comedy. Well, I thought
comedy.
It was mild, though, didn't you?
Yes. I mean, there's so much drama in comedy, and that...
Yeah.
Was pretty mild compared to some of the drama I've seen.
Yeah.
In different comedy scenes, that's for sure. Before I talk to you, though, about your story about bombing, I do have one other question for you.
Yeah,
that I'm
sure.
curious about. With somebody, because you've been doing comedy for so long, and comedy keeps changing and evolving, and, There's a lot of controversy now, especially in where we're at in time with, you know, cancel culture and what they call woke comedy and things like that. I think it's interesting. I wanted to see what your perspective as somebody that's, you're 40 years of comedy, you've seen it all.
I'm looking for crumbs. It's a good question, because one of the things that's weird, though, it took place during this pandemic, basically. Mm-hmm. And so people aren't out there, you know?
Mm-hmm.
They aren't working as much. So people, I think it depends on the situation. Some people could say anything, and nobody says anything about it. You know that, right?
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah. And then another person says it a certain way, right?
Yep.
And the next day, people go after them, or that night. And so it's a form of bullying, I think, don't you?
In a sense. Because it definitely, you can definitely tell where there's some biases who gets targeted and who doesn't on certain situations.
I think you have to be careful what you say. But I think that comics probably get away with more than most people do in the public, don't you?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I would think so.
Because they couch it in a joke, you know?
Mm-hmm.
They couch it in a joke. But I think people are going to... it seems like a harsh punishment for one line or something, doesn't it, usually?
Yep.
And apologies aren't really, people aren't looking for an apology, are they?
It doesn't seem like it.
Doesn't seem like it.
Because then when apologize, they just seem like, well, that wasn't genuine. Well, how do you know?
The art of apology, you know, it's very difficult. You got to be careful, but it's like... I think we should have arenas that we can say things, but I do think we shouldn't be saying things that promote harm to other people. But, you know, I've never been that comic. Even on my worst thing, I have never been that comic.
Yeah.
You know, like I oftentimes will edit myself and go, that could hurt somebody's feelings. I remember I did a thing on the... I got a really good lesson early on in life. I was on the Tonight Show and I was doing a joke about jogging. I go, the guy who was the world's best runner dropped dead yesterday. So I rest my case. Right?
Yep.
Something like that. I don't even know the joke anymore. His wife wrote me a letter.
Oh, wow.
And said how much that hurt her. And I was devastated by it. And I never did that. I never did a joke like that again because I didn't know him.
Mm-hmm.
And anybody could die. And that was callous and cruel of me. But I learned, what a way to learn it, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And that probably would have been a really big thing now if it happened. But I probably... I really learned a big lesson. I went, I got to be careful. I used to do a the lung disease.
Not sure.
Oh, well, they do. And I was doing an ad play on words, you know,
mm-hmm.
And somebody else wrote me a letter saying, you know, how much her husband suffered from that disease. She was at my show and I ruined her whole night. And I called her and then talked to her. And you know, I said, I'm really sorry. I'll never do that joke. I never have.
Oh, wow.
It was a really good joke. But not at someone's expense. I'm not out to hurt anybody.
Yeah.
I want you to go away from my show going, oh, that was really fun.
Yeah. And I think most comics should think that way. I mean, it's easy to forget. You like you said, we talked about being egotistic and getting up in our own, you know, stuff. But at the same time, it's easy to forget that people come to the show to laugh and have a good time. And if we're not, you know, helping that, you know, making that possible, then we're not really doing our jobs.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, like I said, I was just curious about that because that's an interesting thing to hear, you know, somebody that's.
Yeah, I'm careful, but I, you know, my act has never been full of stuff that could go that way, you know. Mm-hmm. But, you know, on the other hand, you know, is freedom of speech and people want to say stuff, but when an audience pays money to see you or when you're in a public arena, what you say now does matter. And I don't think it ever was like that before. And I think it's okay. I mean, I think it's good for people. I'm not for the canceling part, but I think it's okay for people to speak up and say, hey, that's hurtful. You shouldn't do that. Mm-hmm. I think that's okay.
Oh, I think so too.
I learned a couple of great lessons by saying them on television. You know, with the heart attack and with the other I can't think of the name of the methylesioma or something. It's like that. I don't know what the name of it is, but stuff like that can drive a comic crazy right there where they
trying to remember something.
And then the host has no idea, so that's horrible.
I know. Failing on my job.
What do you think of it? What do you think of it?
I think freedom of speech, that's always the argument. And I think you're right, freedom of speech. But that doesn't mean that there's freedom of speech doesn't come without consequence. You know, I don't think.
That's right.
I don't necessarily agree with, you know, I'm kind of on the same page with you where I don't necessarily think we should cancel somebody because I believe in second chances and I believe people should have a right to, you know, make amends, if you will, and try to make it right. But if you don't give them the chance, then you're not helping society move to be better. You're just trying to get rid of somebody for whatever reason it may be, you know.
Yeah, I don't understand it really seems to defeat the purpose of the people saying going after you. It seems to be like, well, that shouldn't be your goal. Your goal should be to educate, right?
Exactly. Educate. Yep.
I mean, I felt educated by both those situations and appreciated those people being so kind as to let me know. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. No, that's good. I totally agree with that. Now let's talk about bombing a little bit because that's what this podcast is about.
Yeah,
and I'm sure you've got
never bombed.
Never bombed.
Never.
That's the art of bombing.
They
never
love
do
me.
It.
They love me. They never bombed.
But I'm sure you've got.
I have a few, but not many, to be honest with you, because. I'm just so good. Well, a crowd can be bad, you know. It used to be on certain nights in Vegas, like Thursday nights, mm-hmm. a certain kind of crowd would come in. They'd be super conservative. I don't know where they came from, but they would always be the most conservative crowd of the week. And if you said the wrong thing, you didn't get any laughs. And you know, for the rest of the, you know, it was just like, oh, these people are, oh, there's from some other planet, obviously. But and then I would sometimes go after the crowd then, and that would make it, of course, worse, because then they would go, well, we still like it, but we just aren't laughers or whatever, you know, as a collective, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Sometimes you're just crazy when you're up there and you make it worse than it is. I think that happens to comics a lot. Like people come off and go, you did fine. I did not. Don't tell me what I did. But, you know, they're probably right. One time I was at the Hard Rock with Rita for this really big company, Rita Rudner. Great. We do a lot of shows together. And we were both supposed to do 25 minutes or something. 20 minutes. Something like that, or 12 minutes. It wasn't very much, but I freaked out somehow, and I just couldn't remember what any of my jokes. And at 8 minutes, I said goodnight.
Oh, wow.
And everybody was so mad at me. Oh my God. And that I couldn't. So I think, I don't know if it was a bad crowd or I just got in my head too deep, but I remember I had to pay so much for every minute back to them.
Oh no.
Which was really another good lesson. I get these lessons. It's so funny.
Yeah.
But a few times I've had hecklers because people will be drunk, mm-hmm. and they'll come to my show. Louie! Because they're happy to see me, and yeah. they're drunk. Louie! They're ruining the show. There's nothing you can do, right? And nobody seems like, you know what the people in security always say to you? Oh, I thought you were having fun.
Oh, my God, I hate that.
Have you ever had that? That's a horrible feeling.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't experienced necessarily personally, but I've seen it happen at clubs with other comics.
Oh, and my God. Yeah. And you get off and you're just livid. Yep. It ruins your show. You don't feel like you just want to scream at that person.
Yep.
And like I say, if you yell at that person or get kick them out, the whole crowd, you lose the whole crowd.
Yep.
But I remember, I remember several times. I don't have the great bomb story.
Oh, that's okay. We're still learning.
You know? Yeah. Also, bachelorette parties mm-hmm. at a club, that can be where they just are going to talk during the whole thing.
Yep.
And I go, oh, that's crazy. And you can't get mad at that. And if you do, you're going to suffer the same consequences.
Yep, absolutely.
You ruined our bachelorette party. Well, you ruined my show, so we're even.
Yeah. My favorite, though, is when they come up to, when they have the audacity to come up to you after the show, and they're like, I was just trying to help.
Yeah, that's the worst. Hey, no hard feelings. And I go, lots of hard feelings, sir. Lots of hard feelings. Never want to see you again, sir. Louie, we love you. I don't love you, sir. You're out. I hardly ever am like that. I just, there's nothing you can do about it.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah, there's just some things that are out of our control.
And, you know, people, if you lose your cool, you're going to pay for it because you're not going to get them back.
Yeah.
You're not going to get him back. Do you ever see the Bill Burr thing where he's in Philadelphia?
Yep.
Oh, that he's my hero after I saw that.
Yeah, he just like.
He said, I'm gonna finish my time. And he just did. He kept looking at his watch, and he just let him have it.
Yep.
It was amazing how great that was. It was a good lesson for people. I think they actually... Eventually, he turned them around on some weird level.
Yep.
Half of them at least. But, oh, it must have been a horrible feeling for him.
Yeah. Nah, yeah, that's an incredible skill. About that.
Yeah, he's an unbelievable guy. Comic. Yeah. Tremendous comic.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so those are my worst type of situations. Mm-hmm. Oh, I was in Japan once doing a TV show. American TV show, and they're supposed to have like 400 merchant marines there, you know, for an audience for English.
Yep.
And there's a typhoon watch, so they didn't come. So it was all Japanese that didn't speak English in the audience.
Oh, wow.
And I kept saying to the producer to the side, they're not getting it. They're not. Here's another one you guys won't get. The only time they liked it is when I'd rub my stomach and bow. And do this sumo thing. They love that. And I just did that out of like sheer like humor in a sense, because I wanted to just make a point how ridiculous it was. And I think when they aired this special, somehow they made it look like I was doing well.
Well, that's the beauty of editing, right?
Yeah. Because I just kept saying to the producer, they're not getting it, man. They're not getting it. They don't speak English. And he'd go ahead, you're doing great. Shut up, I am not.
That's
but
funny.
I got to say, I've really been fortunate. Occasionally, you know, people will go after, will just be so drunk. It's always drunks with me.
Yeah.
I wrote a book about my dad's drinking, and I think a lot of people might have identified with it that had that same issue. And so I've had that kind of thing happen. But, you know, for the most part, Dan, I've had a really Cinderella story as a comic. I've really been lucky. You know, my fans like me, and I seem to, other comics seem to like me. And I get along with almost everybody. It's a small group of people, all of us comics.
Oh, yeah,
so
absolutely.
I think it's amazing nowadays. I think comics are nicer to each other than they used to be when I was coming up.
Yeah? I think at some level, yeah, because it's more community. I mean, but I also see where it seems like it gets a little clicky, it seems like, too.
Oh, it's very clicky.
Very clicky.
Yeah, clicky's no good because, you know, you don't have any... You don't really have any click going.
Mm-hmm. Not really.
What are you clicking them from?
Exactly.
I always tell comics, when you're working, do your set, go home. Don't hang around with other comics. Do your set, listen to your set on the way home, and then get back to work on that set. And because you're not there to make friendships with comics. You're there to make your act the best it can be. People lose their focus all the time. Us comics, we can lose our focus because we just want to have fun and and screw around. We don't want to take life seriously. That's why we picked this thing.
Yeah, exactly.
We just want to goof around, and we want everybody. You know, we just want to be big shots for a minute.
Yep, have our moment in the light. Get our 15 minutes.
You know, anytime you're on stage, you should take the advantage of knowing that you're probably alleviating pain in somebody's life by making them laugh.
Yep.
And so you should take that really seriously and give them all you got, because you might be saving their life on some level.
That's beautiful advice. I totally
And you
agree.
Might be saving your life. You might be saving your life.
Yep.
Which is good.
Yeah. I mean, we all need to laugh. And now I feel like more than ever, you know, with the way everything's happened in this last year.
People, so crazy, huh?
People need the humor.
Maybe. What are you drinking that you keep drinking?
Bubbly. Just sparkling water.
I like bubbly. Yeah. They make a good one, don't they?
They do. They do. I really like the
I'm more of the grape. I didn't even know they had a pineapple. I'll have to get some.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Pretty tasty.
Yeah, it's pretty good for, it has no stuff in it, so that's nice.
Yep,
that we know of.
Yeah,
of course.
I'm sure down the road, they'll find something. They always do. Yeah, I try to drink stuff that's low in calories, sugars, things like that. I'm diabetic, so I try to be good with it.
That's good, so. Well, diabetes, you know, is such a serious thing.
It can, yes, it definitely can be if you let it go unchecked. And
I mean, you know, it's hard to, they're getting better and better with the medicine, but I mean, it's hard. People have to be careful because you could be careless and it could cost you.
Yep, absolutely.
So why I try to say, I got no self-control whatsoever, so.
Yeah, and I've actually had friends that were diabetic that, you know, passed away basically because of that, because, you know, they didn't take care of it and no self-control. So I'm not that way. I try to keep it balanced. I mean, I have some things, you know, I like to have a beer now and again, and I like my pasta and pizza, things that aren't good for diabetes, but like I said, I keep it balanced. So
I hope you, I'm glad you do, Dan.
Yeah, that's the, gotta stay balanced. Yeah, well, we've already been at this for almost an hour, which is amazing. I could probably keep talking
to fun.
You, but I do have a couple more questions for you real quick.
Yeah,
going
sure.
more
Go
into
ahead.
The comedy thing. What, when you were coming up early on, what did you try to do to listen back and like when you analyze sets to try to improve, you know, if you're working on a joke or you had a bad set?
Well, deep in your heart, you know, if it's any good or not.
Mm-hmm.
Deep in your heart, you got to just be honest with yourself. You can make every under every joke is a better joke. Sometimes I work on jokes for years and go, I know there's a better joke under here. Even though this works every time, this is not the best joke here. There's another joke that's better underneath it. And so I think what I did is, I mean, here's a sneaky thing you can do. When you listen to your setback, your ego is listening also. And whether you know it or not, your ego is saying you could make that better. Because it doesn't want to be disappointed.
Yep.
It wants to get more attention. And so I think the more you listen to your sets and the more honest you are, like, what does the joke mean to you? Are you why do you enjoy it? What does it give you? I think you just got to be honest about your set. Like, how can I make this better? I think every joke could be made better.
Yep.
And I think, where are you going with the jokes? What are you talking about? And does it matter to you? Like, what's the thing that you don't want to talk about that's a struggle for you? Those are the things to go towards if you can, because mm-hmm. they're the things that are going to be the most resonant with people. Like, I would talk about my dad and I didn't get along and how crazy my mom was, and food, and I'm an addict for food, and my being fat and how people treat you. All that stuff was, you should talk about your diabetes. There's mm-hmm. a lot of jokes in there.
Yep.
I can tell you, I know there's a lot of jokes in there. You shouldn't be afraid to go into that.
Yep.
You know?
Yep,
and then, you know, here's how I look at that whole thing. You know, you might end up with a sponsorship out of it.
Yeah, that's medicine, a good point.
Yeah. Always look to try to, you know, monetize what you're doing. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think, I would think that the more you listen to your act, the better you'll get, no matter what. Mm-hmm. The sooner you listen to it after you do it, is good, because it gets in your brain really solid. But then the next day you should listen to it again. You know how long I ask people, I go, work is hard. Especially when I was younger, I'd say to people who were young and they were living a crazy life, I go, work as hard on your comedy as you do on getting drugs and getting laid.
That's solid.
I go, work
advice.
That hard. I go, work that hard.
Yeah, that's some really good comedy advice right there.
Yeah.
It's true.
It is. It's true.
I mean, and that's the thing. Yeah, I mean, if you look at the people who are the most successful in our industry, they're the ones that are working the hardest, you know, they're.
I agree with you.
That's just how it is. That's the reality of it. Well, I like to go more positive towards the end, and I have a couple fun things I like to do at the end of the show.
Sure, let's do it.
I have a Art of Bombing comedy Get Pumped playlist on Spotify. So I always like to ask my guests if there's a song that gets them pumped up, not necessarily to perform, but just, you know, any task really.
I love Prince's Little Red Corvette, or, any Prince song that's really a driving beat. Do you know what I mean?
Yep.
Like, 99 or any of those kind of things.
I love that you kept that local.
Yeah, I love all my locals there. But I love Prince, and he was about entertainment mm-hmm. in a large degree. He was the ultimate entertainer, I think. One of the rock gods in entertainment for sure, rock and soul.
Oh, absolutely.
James Brown sometimes James Brown, but Prince, a Little Red Corvette, a Dove's Cry, all of his hits are. Even all of his other weird stuff, you know, that I liked, you know, like Hey Taxi Driver. I don't know if that's the name of it, but I just love Prince. He just had he really did have a Minnesota sound, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. that would be mine. Yeah, those would be mine.
No, I like it.
Johnny Cash sometimes. Johnny Cash.
Yeah, you can never go wrong with Johnny Cash or James Brown for that matter. James Brown can get me moving. That's for sure.
Great stuff, yeah.
Yeah, that is for sure. And then I know you've a career of 40-plus years. You've been in TV. You've been in movies. You've done pretty much everything. You've got so many things to do. This is going to be a tough one. But is there a gig that you – one of your favorite gigs that you've done?
Well, I did the White House. And my mom was in the audience. For Reagan and Tip O'Neill and those guys. The opening of the Ford Theater. And then we all went to the White House. To make Reagan and Tip O'Neill both laugh. with jokes kind of towards them. That was a really big thing for a kid from the projects in St. Paul. That would be definitely my first Tonight Show. The Arizona State Fair, 20 or 30,000 people.
Oh, wow. That's
just
amazing.
One of those great, great shows, you know, where I go, I'm the king of the world, you know, that type of thing. You know, I just, you know, and then on another note, the first time I did my family material in my little club at Mickey Finn's there, the very first time, and that it worked. And then I went, oh. And then I discovered that whole thing, and I just went, oh, this is going to be a lot of fun. Because I'm a big fan of comedy.
Mm-hmm.
Probably the single biggest thing would be the Young Comedians special with Rodney Dangerfield.
Oh, that, yeah, that's a good one.
There were just a lot of my friends, and Rodney, one of my idols. So
that's awesome.
That was a big one. That was a big one.
Awesome. Yeah, that's an incredible career. And I have to say, too, that I loved you in Baskets. I know you've heard this a lot, and it's probably cliche to say by now, but
no, it's not at all.
Absolutely amazing. You're like, you stole the show in that series. That's how I felt about it. It was so good.
Well, I mean, I think it was a weird thing. I mean, Zach once said in an interview we were doing, it's humbling not being the star of your own show. And I thought, oh, I never thought of it that way. And I felt bad. You know, I went, oh. But he was so gracious and wonderful to work with. And, you know, he spoke me into existence. He just said a sound. And Louis said, do you mean like Louis Anderson? And he goes, yeah. And they said, should we call him and see if he'll do it? And they called me. I was going to work at the Plaza Hotel. It was behind, just sitting there waiting to go in. And back where the railroad tracks were, and get a call, and they go, hey, we're doing a sitcom with Zach. Would you do a part on it? And I go, yeah. They go, would you play his mom? I go, yes, I definitely would. And that was it. And then like 6 months later, we shot the pilot, and then 3 or 4 months later, we got the okay that FX wanted to do it.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, it was great. One of my favorite series, that's for sure. And
I'm very proud of it.
And it should be. It was a great series. It's
I enjoyed it.
It's I heard him, Zach, talking
Chip.
About it.
Chip. It's Dan. Wants to know how many times you bombed.
This is just a little treat for you.
I love it.
Sometimes I yell that out when I'm at a store or something.
Chip. Oh, that's funny.
And people whip their head around. They know the... That was a really fun thing that it just happened one time when I said it, and I just elongated it and just kept irritating until he got really mad at me. It was really good.
Oh, that's hilarious. Do you ever do that then with your other, like your stuff from Life with Louie, just to see if people.
Oh, yeah. Oh, right. Yeah, I do that stuff. When people say they like something, I go into that voice because it matters.
Yeah.
These people love what I did, and I don't want to. I mean, you only go around once, Dan, so go around as the best possible person you can, huh?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, this has been amazing. And again, I can't thank you enough for coming and doing this little old podcast of mine.
Oh, my pleasure.
I really appreciate it. I know you said
and
you're...
Get the book.
Yes, get the book. Yes, it'll be... There will be a link in the show notes when I post this to the book. I'll put it out on the social medias. I've already been promoting it, so because I read it and I really enjoyed it.
I'm glad.
But I know you said you're working on a new special. Are there any dates on
June 12th on Rush Ticks.
Okay.
You know Rush Ticks?
Yep, I've heard Rush Ticks.
I'm doing virtuals June 12th.
Oh, virtual. Okay.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I was just going to ask. So, are you doing your special virtual?
I am.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I mean, it was already in the works, and then, you know, I made a deal with them, and I, you know, I'm going to honor that deal. They're good people.
This is the time for, you know, specials to do different things, you know, because people are.
Yeah, it'll just be good. You know, it's going to be really good. It's all new material. And I've always been fortunate to be able to write stuff, and we'll see how good it is. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, it'll be fun.
Who knows?
It's going to be great.
I mean, who knows? Christine Baskets might even make an appearance on it.
You heard it here first, ladies and gentlemen.
They did. It's not up for sale yet. This weekend it will be.
All right. Good to know. I'll make sure that's in the link too. Again, thank you so much, and have a good rest of your day.
Yeah, you too. Dan, take care of yourself and continued success, huh?
Thank you.
You know Rocky Laporte?
I know of him. I haven't.
He would be a great guy to have on your podcast. Just saying.
Well,
tell him Louie sent him.
I'll do that.
All right. Thanks a lot, Dan.
Thank you.
All right. Take care.
This has been brought to you by Dead and Mellow. Follow us on all your social media platforms and shop around at deadandmellow.com to see all of our stand-up, music, and podcast releases. Thank you, and God bless America.
All right, see you later.
See you.
Are we actually leaving or just it?
The Art of Bombing is a Blitzed Entertainment production. Hosted and produced by me, Dan Bublitz Jr. The stand-up spotlight bumper was produced by Joe Nicola Music. The Art of Bombing theme music was written and performed by John Holt. All other music was used under Creative Commons licensing. All stand-up audio clips were used with permission from the comedians. You can help the podcast by subscribing, leaving a 5-star rating, and a review. For previous episodes, merch, blogs, and more, please visit theartofbombingpod.com. And remember, stay safe so you can live to love.